Welcome to the Amplifying Leadership Podcast. I am your host, Tara Lehman, a partner, coach, and consultant at Twin Life Coaching and Business Services, of which Amplifying Leadership is a division. This podcast is a place dedicated to amplifying your leadership through our guest stories, tips, information, and more. To learn more about our leadership division, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. Today, I am welcoming back a previous guest, Britt Marie Sykes. Britt Marie is a career counselor and founder of Canvas Career Counseling. Welcome back to the show.
Oh, thank you, Tara. Thank you for having me again. It's really a pleasure to be here and talk to you this morning.
Yes, and we have another awesome topic to hit on. So let's get right into it. Can you share with our listeners maybe what you're hearing from your clients or out there around the topic of ageism and even maybe working in multi-generational work environments? Because that for leaders is becoming something that's really important. Mm-hmm. What are you hearing?
I'm hearing a lot. The job market is always changing. Yes. And at the moment, certainly in Canada, and it is similar in other countries, we have an aging population. We have a larger number of the workforce is in these older age cohorts. Mm-hmm. And so I am hearing from clients some of the issues around being in these older cohorts. And many of those issues are, I don't want to retire, or mm-hmm. I can't retire financially for financial reasons. And compounding those two areas, maybe I'm experiencing ageism, mm-hmm. or retirement is being forced upon me, or I want to continue working, but the work I'm currently doing is too physically demanding, but I have right. skills and expertise and knowledge and wisdom that could easily be transferable to something else, but I'm coming up against roadblocks, again, going back to either ageism or, you know, again, a very entrenched belief that retirement must happen, at a certain age. People may want to continue to work, but they may have health issues that require certain accommodations or maybe right. a reduction in the number of hours that they're working or how they work. Or people may be caring for a partner with health issues. And so there are life issues that are impacting, again, the way they work, their ability to work maybe, sort of stereotypical 9-to-5. But again, there may be wisdom, knowledge, expertise, skills that are still incredibly viable and can mm-hmm. be harnessed for the benefit of a team or a particular workplace. So I'm hearing a lot of these things. Of course, what I've just mentioned are examples, but I'm hearing a lot of these in my conversations with clients, as I said, who either don't want to retire or can't. They don't want to because they want that continued sense of community and purpose, or they have a financial reality ahead of them, and it's simply going to be impossible to retire anytime between 62 and 65, let's say. Mm-hmm. And I do occasionally work with leaders who are also confronting their own leadership style and working with multi-generational teams, mm-hmm. and having to confront their comfort or discomfort with multi-generational teams. So I'm always happy when leaders reach out and are willing to have those kinds of conversations.
Yeah, for sure. And I love, by the way, that you mentioned the financial piece of it, because a lot of people think, 65, I get to retirement or whatever that age is where you are. But truly, money right now in this day and age, and you're right, Britt Marie and I are both in Canada. So in Canada, US, and other countries, there's a lot of issues with people who are older being able to afford to even leave work. And, but then they also have all those things that you mentioned. Maybe they do need accommodation or, taking care of somebody. And so the financial need is becoming more and more important. And so you're right. I think maybe leaders need to be aware of these things, that financial needs are still there. And you've got somebody who, like you said, they have the knowledge, they have the skills, they just need accommodation in some cases, or they can continue to work until they're 75 without an issue. So when you think about all those things you mentioned and that aging workforce and those people who may need to work because financially they can't not, what should our leaders be aware of in those cases? What is it that we want them to know about?
Well, I mentioned, my first comments, I mentioned leadership style. So, I mean, one is, acknowledging this aging workforce. Again, work environments are very, very different. Not all work environments will have multi-generational teams. But some do. Depending on where you are as a leader, acknowledge, if you are in a work environment where you're seeing an increase in multi-generational teams, where you are seeing an increase in employees over 60, showing some interest and desire to continue working, acknowledge that first. And acknowledge, what changes are happening because of that. How is that sort of impacting the work environment? Assess your leadership style with around this whole issue of multi-generational teams. Is your leadership style inclusive and adaptable? Acknowledge where you're uncomfortable. That can be very difficult
It can be,
for
yes.
leaders, very difficult. Where am I actually uncomfortable and why? Acknowledge your biases around ageism. We all carry biases of all
It's
sorts.
natural, right? Yeah,
Absolutely.
exactly.
And they impact and influence the way we're seeing the world. And, if you're a leader who's never had to confront multi-generational teams, and then suddenly this is in front of you and you're uncomfortable and you don't quite know why you're uncomfortable, or the team just isn't gelling and you can't figure out, based on, your sort of previous style and directive, you cannot figure out why this team isn't gelling. I mean, again, go back to what assumptions do I carry? What kind of biases do I carry around ageism? Again, it can be very uncomfortable for leaders to talk about this. But again, there are spaces of confidential conversation to really go into these things in depth and to reflect on them. How do these biases, particularly around ageism, how do they show up? How do they show up? How do they show up in my leadership, in my direction? Do they show up in the hiring, in the firing? Do they show up in underestimating talents and skills? Do they show up in my inability to be creative with the team and maybe move people around? Often, and I digress for just a moment, often older workers are quite willing to take on a different role. They actually find that kind of exciting. And to take on a different role. And again, it's a leader's openness and adaptiveness and inclusiveness that can look at the whole picture. What do I have before me? What kind of spread of talent do I have? Where can people be placed so that they feel really good in what they're doing? They feel really good about the contributions that they're making, but also, am I on top of, the interpersonal relationships? Am I on top of the communication between the generations? What kind of workplace culture am I cultivating? And these are all things to reflect on on a regular basis as a leader. And again, I'm not suggesting that these are easy things to reflect
No.
on.
Yeah, self-reflection with leadership is really, really important. And you said a few words that made me think of a speaking event I just did with a whole bunch of females that were either leadership or wanting to get into leadership, and really about the inclusiveness of gender. So the inclusiveness of age is one of those other discriminations that is sometimes, as you mentioned, a bias that you really need to do that self-reflection and say, what am I doing? But sometimes with the unconscious bias as well. And I think that's where those one-on-one conversations or even feedback from your employees can be very, very beneficial to really understand those unconscious biases that might be out there about age. Because you're right, we come up in, different cultures or different backgrounds or whatever our environments are. And those biases sometimes are very natural. I mean, we all have them, like you mentioned. Sometimes we don't even understand that we have them because they're unconscious. So love that you brought
Exactly.
that up. Love that you brought up the inclusive leadership, because I love that. Obviously, I just spoke about it. It's really, really important when it comes to everything, including age. So let's look at this a little bit about the challenges that, leaders do face. So we have a multi-generational workforce or a team. Maybe there's, those young 20-year-olds and those 65-year-olds who want to keep working. What are some of the challenges that our leaders may face around that with that diverse team? Do you hear anything that is coming up regularly with your clients?
I'll give you an example of a
Yeah.
client I worked with a couple of months ago. And until they were just over 60, they hadn't really experienced a big change in workplace culture. And suddenly they had a new leader
Okay.
put in place on the team, a leader who was 20 years younger than the client that I was working with. And again, the leader, and this is where it goes back to assessing the kind of culture that you're creating and really assessing who is on my team and how can I maximize their talents. And this leader, and I'm not in any way criticizing this leader. I don't know them, and I don't know, obviously, I don't know a lot of context around this leader.
Right.
But what my client experienced was a very, very strong shift in the workplace culture, very
Okay.
much geared towards a much younger generation. And
Right.
so everything from social gatherings and the way this leader wanted the team to bond, to the way they communicated, my client felt very much on the periphery of all of that. And they had never experienced in their career life, they had never experienced such a dramatic almost push
Shift,
and
yeah.
shift to the periphery. And again, what this leader had chosen, again, were activities and social activities and ways of communicating that really suited one cohort.
Right. Yes.
And again, I don't know anything particular, I don't know vast detail and context about this particular work environment or this particular leader, but it was very, very interesting how my client internalized these changes and simply didn't feel welcome, didn't feel that they could navigate that new work culture, and therefore was second guessing the work that they did, which again was 30 years of expertise, but again didn't feel maybe that what they were contributing was valuable. And so it was a bit of a downward spiral, and it seems so unnecessary.
Yes.
This is just one example, but I mean, you can pull threads from that one example to see that these things occur in many, many work environments. And so, again, as a leader, even if you were to assess, as I said before, Am I uncomfortable? Am I uncomfortable because I've got two 63-year-olds on the team, 49-year-olds, and three people in their late 20s? Am I comfortable with this? And I'm situated kind of right in the middle. And maybe I've never worked with people in their 60s. I'm uncomfortable, and I'm sort of driving a particular leadership agenda, and it's just not gelling with this team. So there are a lot of challenges. Again, acknowledging where you're uncomfortable, acknowledging where you can grow as a leader, getting to know your team, getting to know your team. Older cohorts.
Yes, that's a huge one.
Yeah, older cohorts are not scary. They have a lot of experience. Yeah,
It's true.
they have a lot of experience, but you don't have to be intimidated by it. It's like you have a lot of wisdom and knowledge. Maybe we can move you into a space of mentorship. Maybe we can, maybe we can adjust your role to take on this. And the same can be true of younger generations. I mean, you've heard of the expression, reverse mentorship, where younger cohorts are mentoring older cohorts in areas. I mean, the most obvious example is technology. But when a leader actually talks about these things openly, when they talk about, here we have a multidimensional team, wouldn't that be wonderful? Again, if a leader could have a team meeting and actually said that out loud, here we have a multi-generational team. That presents challenges, but it probably presents more opportunity. What we bring to the table, what we can bring to the table, let's talk about whether roles can be shifted around so that everybody's skills and talents are maximized, because this is what we're doing. This is my sort of vision for the work that we're going to be doing. And so let's fit in all the pieces. Let's figure out where the pieces should be so that everyone feels good. Encouraging people to even talk about what's uncomfortable about, if you're 27, what's uncomfortable about talking to someone who's 62, or vice versa. Those are lofty goals, but they're not impossible.
Not at all. And I think there's a challenge out there for our leaders of multi-generational teams. Next time you have a team meeting, ask them or say something like, I mean, sometimes one-on-one is better to ask, like, what, why are you uncomfortable
Absolutely.
speaking with so and so? But maybe, as you mentioned, the next time there's a team meeting, praising the fact that you have multi-generations in there and there is various different types of knowledge and skills, because the younger generations are definitely more tech savvy because they've grown up with it.
Yeah.
And older generations, they want to learn. You're right. It's not that they don't want to learn, it's that they need someone to show them. One of my Tip Thursdays on this podcast, I talked about reverse mentoring. So I'm so happy you brought that up, because it's really important to remember that we can all help each other out. We can all be mentors for each other. It
Absolutely.
doesn't matter what your age is or what your position
Absolutely. Absolutely.
are. I love the fact that I would go out and I would, I would sit with somebody who, maybe was in the warehouse and just ask them how they did their job. Because when we do those types of things, or we do reverse mentoring, we learn and grow, right? And we become more comfortable. And the big thing that you mentioned is we start to talk.
Yes.
And we can start to kill those biases, because now we're comfortable with each other.
Yes, exactly.
And yeah, I mean, one-on-one meetings, do you talk about that a little bit with some of your clients about how that can help with their leaders to employees or employees to leaders?
Yeah, I'll go back just to just briefly to the group meeting. I mean, group meetings, you can, as a leader, you can introduce, the topic very generally. You don't have to single people out or single out their skills and abilities, but you can talk about it generally, so that adds to the culture you're creating. Oh, this is a natural conversation that we can have. The leader or our manager or director is very well aware of these things. And that's also very powerful for your team. And then individually, again, get to know your team individually. Get to know, get to know their particular skills and abilities, but also get to know what they want to learn more about. And that's at every level. For somebody who's over 60, most people I've encountered as clients don't feel that their learning has stopped. Quite the opposite. They really value contribution. Many who want to stay in the workforce really value, as I mentioned earlier, this continued sense of community, purpose, and contribution. A leader can start a conversation with that individual around those issues of purpose and community and contribution, and get to know what's driving that particular person after 60. And again, are there different roles that they may want to take on? Are there particular skills? Because at that age, you've got a lot of perspective on your skills
Absolutely.
and abilities. And there may be certain skills or talents or abilities that you may want to showcase more of in your 60s. And so being able to have those conversations with a leader, so the leader can say, this is the project we're about to embark on. Let's talk about where your contributions would be best suited. And the same with a much younger cohort or individual. What do you want to learn more about? How do you want to build out your career life? You really get them thinking about, yeah, I'm on a trajectory. I don't know everything. I want exposure to certain things. That might include even a leader asking a younger cohort, how would you feel about mentorship in this area from this particular team member? And of course, you've also asked privately that older cohort, would you be comfortable? I'm noticing that you are quite natural in roles of leadership or mentorship and teaching. How would you feel about, taking on that role with this segment of our team? And then, asking those other team members again, privately, individually, so that you can get to know them. How would you feel about having mentorship in this area? And a leader can also, insert some perspective. There's value in being mentored
Yes, absolutely. The purpose.
at this age. And there's value in reverse mentorship. So when I'm working and I'm getting back to sorry, rather
That's
circuitous route around
okay.
that question. But when I'm working with clients, yes, sometimes we break down what a conversation might look like with a leader. And it might mean breaking down, how do I want to work at this stage in my life? Why am I continuing to work? What's the fundamental reason? Do I want to stay in the same field, profession, work? Or am I looking for something completely different in my 60s? Which of my skills, talents, abilities, wisdom, knowledge, perspective do I want to highlight? And do I want sort of most pronounced in my day-to-day? What other contexts impact the way that I work? Again, this goes back to perhaps a change in one's physical strength, health issues, or family members, particularly partners, spouses, who may need care, may need services, and you have to be available for certain services. But I'm usually reflecting with clients on all of these questions and more, that they have a lot of information to present to a leader so that they can connect the dots for that leader. I mean, leaders are in positions of leadership for a reason, but they're not mind readers.
That's exactly it, right?
They're not mind
None of
readers.
us are.
No. And again, if you are in an older cohort and you have reflected, gathered information, and can really connect the dots of what your continuing value is or can be for that leader, you've immediately changed the conversation that you're having with that leader. But again, you've got to have a leader who's receptive, adaptive, open, creative, inclusive, who thinks this is a great conversation. You have provided me with so much insight and information. I can see the map here, and maybe we could move you over here and task you with these responsibilities. That might be the perfect situation for you. And at the same time, we'll continue cultivating, again, relationships and conversations that bridge gaps and bridge biases and bridge assumptions about cohorts.
Yeah, and I do like that you people may not have heard the word feedback, but all those questions that leaders can ask in those meetings or in the one-on-ones, and all the questions that the employees can ask, open up conversation, open up inclusivity in work environments, and open up the team to being more receptive to different age groups. Feedback is huge for leaders. I work with a lot of leadership clients and they forget to ask for it. And I always say, you don't have to say, hey, how's my leadership today? It's about talking to your people. What do they need? What resources do they need? Where do they feel comfortable? What mentoring do they need or want to do for others? I mean, it really is that feedback that helps people really feel welcome, heard, and included. And those are three things that every age wants.
Something that you mentioned, and I just want to add to the feedback, guided feedback. Asking people for feedback alone is too general, and people don't know what the entry point is. Like, what kind of feedback am I giving? Should I be positive because it's my leader, it's my boss? Should I be critical because it's anonymous? Should I, but if you guide the feedback, again, flesh out that word so that everybody, under your tutelage, understands what that is. I want to know what you need, what's working well for you, what's challenging. And again, that means that you are open to this feedback and you are not using it.
100%.
You're not using it against those employees, but you've guided those employees. I'm looking for, everything, and everything includes. What do you need more of? What do you need less of? What's working very well for you? What are you proud of in this work environment? What's challenging? You could even ask a very pointed question if you are on a multi-generational team. How comfortable are you working with different age cohorts? What's working really well? What's surprising to you? What are you learning? What continues to be a challenge? Do you know why it's a challenge? I'm really big on guided feedback and not just the word.
It's not just how am I doing? It's, what resources do you need to do your job well? And all the questions that you mentioned, or are there any safety concerns that you currently have? Because guided questions are so much easier to get the feedback than if you just scare them with, hey, how am I doing as a leader? Well, they're not going to answer anything but, saying you're fabulous, right? So you really just need to open the conversations differently with those guided type questions. What were your challenges this week or today or whatever that looks like?
And
So,
that again goes back to constantly assessing your leadership style, not just once or twice. But giving it sometimes even a daily reflection of 5 to 10 minutes at the end of the day. What is my leadership style? How did I show up today? What was the impact of my leadership style on my team? Did I notice anything?
Yeah, absolutely. Self-awareness and self-reflection is something that I always am talking to my leadership clients about, and you do too, because it's really important, either as an employee or as a leader. It's self-reflection is important. So we're going to wrap up our conversation today because I think you and I could go on and on and on about ageism and inclusive workforces. But if we were to look at, besides the self-assessment and seeking some of that feedback, is there that one key tip you want to leave our audience and our leaders with today when it comes to multi-generational teams or ageism?
Something I mentioned earlier, again, reflect on your style of leadership. Is it creative? Is it open? Is it adaptive? Is it inclusive? Confront the issue of multi-generational teams. Confront your comfort or discomfort. Even confronting it doesn't just stop there, and it's not a judgment on your overall leadership style.
No.
It's an opening for, again, greater perspective, knowledge, gathering information, and perhaps making some changes that will not only benefit the development of your leadership style, but it will certainly benefit the team that you lead.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, they'll feel more comfortable and they're going to be more productive. And for the CFOs that are listening out there, that usually leads to profit. They like to hear that part. Thank you so much for a great conversation today, Britt Marie. If our guests wanted to learn more about you or what you do, is there a way that they can find you online?
Yes, thank you. If anyone is interested, you can go to my website, mycareercanvas.co. That's CO. You can reach me by email, hello@mycareercanvas.co. And I'm on Instagram @mycareercanvas. I really appreciate this opportunity to have another conversation with you, Tara.
Yes, thank you. And I know that our audience will find it valuable as well. Thanks again for sharing your tips and experiences.
Thank you.
A thank you to our audience as well. We hope you were able to gain some valuable information or insights today from Britt Marie. If you are a leader who knows that leadership coaching, consulting, and community are the way to grow your leadership journey, please visit us at amplifyingleadership.ca. That is CA as in Canada. A Twin Life Coaching and Business Services division. Until next time, please be safe and be an amazing leader or leader to be.